Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to another Ashes Daily. My name's Tony Kerr and Adam Bayfield is in a car today. Hey, Adam.
I'm just keeping on your toes, always surprising you. You know, where's he going to be next?
Well, you're just outlandish locations. I kind of feel like I'd like you to, rather just like car, phone box, you know, like you
should sort of pop one of his astronomy programs, isn't it? It's like tomorrow's Ashes Daily, I'll be up a mountain in Chile.
Yeah, exactly. Just or Mount Rushmore tomorrow. Be. Yeah, Eiffel Tower. Just landmarks, I think.
Yeah. I've had a really busy. I'm really busy today, mate. It's absolutely manic this afternoon. So I've just about found time to squeeze this in. I've just stepped out of the sauna, come up to my car to record this. Got to get down the road in a minute for a pedicure, so it's all go here. But I've managed to. I can give you 10 minutes.
Okay, well that's all we need, I think. Let's start with an apology first of all. That yesterday's pod arrived, shall we say, slightly late due to a technical mishap, i.e. I forgot to put it up. So it went online, I think, the day three Ashes Daily went online about an hour after day four had finished. So, you know, just keeping the listeners on their toes, really. You know, you've got to look at the day before you listen to it. So if you were confused, apologies, but we hit you with two pods in one day, I guess now. So that is a treat.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about a daily podcast is that it doesn't really matter when it goes out. And actually, I don't know what day we're going to talk about now. I don't think we ever did Adelaide Day 3, did we, Tony? So should we cover that day today?
Should we fill in the blanks? Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we have got some cricket to talk about. Day 4 in Sydney has happened, and that is why we are gathered here today. It began with England batting. Johnny Bairstow was at the crease. We couldn't add too many more runs to his total. He was out for 113 in the end. Jack Leach added 10, Stuart Broad 15. So, yeah, England didn't really push on much, shall we say. They ended 294 all out, 4 wickets for Scott Boland. So yeah, his good start to Test cricket continues. Australia then batted fairly briskly to declare 265 for 6, setting England a target of 388. Usman Khawaja start again, 101 not out. He finished off 138 balls. That was some fantastic shots in that innings. And Cameron Green was the other man to do the damage with 74 from 122 balls. A couple of wickets for Mark Wood and 4 for Jack Leach. So yeah, 388 is the target for England then heading into the final day. They faced 11 overs on the end of day 4 and finished 30 without loss, which is actually unbelievable. When you consider the form so far in the series. What are your observations today, Adam?
It was an interesting day, actually, wasn't it? It was quite a good day of Test cricket. And it's probably fair to say that it's kind of more or less exactly what we expected. I don't know whether anyone will have actually listened to our Ashes Daily from yesterday. We were kind of saying, you know, as much as England had a better day, they were still a long way behind. We thought that their remaining wickets would fall fairly quickly on day 4, which they did. We thought that Australia would bat quickly, and set a stiff target and put England in to have just over a day left to bat out. And that's exactly what has happened. So in some ways, it's a little bit strange that there seems to be quite a bit of positivity around in the English media at the moment, talking about how England are having a better time of it here. But obviously, given how desperately poor they were in the first 3 tests, this does at least feel like a game of Test cricket, doesn't it? It's like they've turned up and they're giving Australia a game of cricket, which they haven't up till now. You know, it feels more like a normal Test match. England are still quite some way behind. You know, they've never been in any danger of winning the game. But they have at least got a chance of saving it. Now, my money would be on Australia winning tomorrow, and, you know, sort of just chipping away with wickets throughout the day and probably wrapping it up just before or just after tea. But England have got a chance of saving it. They're up against it a bit, not only because, you know, it's tough to save a game on the final day of a test match, but also because Stokes, Bairstow and Butler are all carrying knocks, aren't they? So I'd imagine they'd all bat, but how well they'll bat, given that, I don't know. So, I mean, and anyway, can, you know, it's not like Butler was batting particularly well pre the injury. So Australia will feel that if they get England three down, they're more or less there. So, you know, it's a tall order. You think England are probably still going to lose this game, but it is, you know, there's slightly more reason to be cheerful, or at least less reason to be absolutely savagely critical than there has been up till now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that, I mean, England still only managed to score, as good as that Bairstow knock was, and there was an opportunity to build at least a little bit more on it at the start of the day. Yeah, they're still all out for 294, which is not, I mean, it's in the top half of their innings totals in the last couple of years, but it's obviously not a great sample, is it? So, yeah, what did you make of Khawaja's innings? Obviously, he's really stolen the show, hasn't he, in Sydney? I mean, he played some fantastic shots all around, you know, sort of 360. He's got an amazing repertoire, and it's just a, yeah, it's a, you know, he's a likable guy, and it's a nice, yeah. Now that the sort of series is dead and buried from an English perspective, we can just sort of enjoy it, and yeah, there was plenty to enjoy there.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a very popular figure, particularly at the SCG. And, you know, it's quite sort of, well, quite a great scenes when he got to that 100 as he did in the first innings. The crowd really, really responding for him. And yeah, beautiful innings to watch, as you say. He's it's a pretty remarkable performance all around, isn't it? To come into the team, you know, just sort of talk about seizing your opportunity to come in and score twin hundreds. I still don't know whether he'll play the next game. It's becoming hard now to see, you know, it'd be a very difficult decision, very difficult call to leave him out after this. But can it be a very, very, very harsh on Travis Head to leave him out after the performances he put in earlier on? So and given that Khawaja's 35, Head feels more like the future. So it could well be that Khawaja goes out again, you know. I don't think this will be the case, but it's not impossible that he'll never play another test. So, like, could there ever be a better performance to earn a drop?
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, astonishing stuff, really. And as you say, kind of 360. It's easy to forget. Well, I don't know if it's easy to forget. It's easy for me to forget. But he was a, you know, an opening batsman in T20 cricket for a while for Australia. You know, he really can put his foot down. What he wants to do. And I do wonder if they want to keep him in the team, maybe it's as opener, because that is the one spot in the Australian batting order that is up for grabs. And you feel like Khawaja can more or less bat anywhere. It's not where he's batted to score these runs, but if they want to kind of shoehorn him into the team, maybe that could happen in place of Marcus Harris.
Yeah, it's an amazing achievement. I thought as well, Cameron Green, you know, a lot's been spoken about this series, about his potential and the way he's bowled, you know, it's his first sort of meaningful hit with the bat, but just his physicality, that he, you know, there's echoes of, or shades of, Sir Peterson about the way he kind of dominates the crease. And a couple of the shots he played today were just, yeah, they were quite scary, really. So yeah, that'll be a worrying sign for England for sure, you know, going forward, but something to enjoy for Australia.
Yeah, well, we've seen a lot of, you know, I was going to say glimpses, but a lot more than glimpses of his potential with the ball in this series, but not much with the bat, as you say. So now, like, it is, as we've talked about on the podcast over the last few weeks, like, in some ways, it's probably the best, the most sort of encouraging thing that's happened for Australia in this series is the emergence of Cameron Green as a real, he looks like he's going to be a world-class test all-rounder. And that's something that they haven't really had ever, even that great, I don't know about ever, but in our lifetime, even that great Australia team of the late 90s and early noughties, the one thing they didn't have was an all-rounder. And, you know, and he does look like someone who can potentially bat at six and be part of a three-man seam attack if required. So that's scary stuff for the rest of the world, as you say. So, yeah, I mean, it is all set up time for an interesting day's cricket tomorrow. I mean, it could all be over in a hurry. I wouldn't rule out England collapsing for 120 or something. But they could also knuckle down, and it's not impossible that we could be waking up to a thrilling finale tomorrow with England trying to cling on. I mean, you know, obviously the series is done, but one of the good things about Test cricket is that it does still feel like matches to some extent matter in and of themselves. Once if it turns into a good game, you can still get invested in it, can't you? So it will be, it could be exciting. But I wouldn't bet loads of money on England doing, as you say, saying bowled out for all the kind of positivity that's floating around now. Well, there's not that much positivity, but it does feel like it is a better performance for England. And, you know, certainly on the BT boys are enjoying it much more. But it, as you say, again, they've still not made 300 in this series, and they're going to have to bat. It's going to have to be their best performance with the bat of the series by some distance tomorrow if they're going to come away with anything.
Yeah, you're right. I do kind of feel like the overall, I don't know, like the sort of the absolute dismay and kind of, like all of that kind of feeling is sort of somewhat sapped away now to a certain extent, to be continued, I'm sure, at some point. But it's like now everyone's just like enjoying cricket. It's like, I can watch it. It's like great to see him scoring runs, like really enjoying it. But hey, it sort of feels like, just feels pleasant at the moment.
They set such a low bar for what you can be positive about as a fan. It's like anything that's better than what we saw in the first three tests, it feels like England are doing well. But actually, yeah, they've been a long way behind in this game all the way through, and they're probably going to lose it. But somehow we're like, this is much better. But that, I think, is a reflection on how badly they played up to now. But there is a bit of a risk with that, actually, because, you know, we've talked about how, you know, the one good thing to come out of this disaster of a series and of a performance is that perhaps it's enough of a shock, enough of a system shock that it will force some changes. It will force some kind of reset. People are talking about like wide-ranging reform that's needed to the county system and the structure of cricket and grassroots and everything. And if England actually, even if they lose these two games, if there's a feeling that they've done a bit better and a few players score hundreds or whatever it is, then they might be able to, then the powers that be that perhaps don't want change might be able to be like, actually, it's all fine. Look, Johnny Bairstow scored 100. We don't need to look at the county championship.
Well, we shall wait and see. Let's leave it there then. You've got some more hard treatments to look forward to.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, like that wasn't a joke. I actually have been in the sauna. I'm not going for a pedicure, but I have been in the sauna. It's been a tough day. But I'm so hot, so I'm sat in my car here. The whole car is steamed up through the course of talking to you because I'm just absolutely boiling.
You're not going for some sort of like hot stone massage next or something?
Yeah, that's tomorrow.
Bit of shiatsu just to take the edge off that pod.
Well, that's what tomorrow's Ashes Daily will be. Mid massage.
Yeah, just the sound of your back being sort of chopped and beaten. Yeah. As we,
yeah, it was a good innings from Bairstow.
Oh, well, enjoy your afternoon, mate. I'll see you tomorrow.
Talk to you tomorrow, Zane. Bye. Okay.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.